I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Sean Bajani is in. Tyler Milner's on the ones and twos. And I want to start this thing off. Every hour on the hour, baby, I want to give credit where credit is due. Ron the Show Hughley and Reginald Atitula. Big shout out to them boys, our teammates, for putting that radiothon together where they each... together, they did 12 hours of radio, 6A to 6P. They did it on the Friday before July 4th. They raised $23,000+ for the Houston Food Bank. Y'all, that's over $50,000 raised in 2 years by them two cats with just an idea. The idea, the legwork, they put it together. They did it. They put it all together. They schedule it. We just chip in where we can. And you, the people, all of our listeners on Sports Radio 610, come to the table and spend your money and support. And we greatly appreciate it from our perspective, just the listeners being involved. But big shout out to Ron and Reggie for making that happen, man. That's one thing with our station. We can be really good at what we do. We can have a lot of fun up here. We can cover sports day in, day out. But we take it that next step when guys like Ron and Reggie actually give back to the community. So I want to give them a big shout out. They're off today because they gave up their Friday before July 4th. And so I hope them two boys are out there having a good time with their family. And can't wait to see them tomorrow. But in the meantime, my man Sean Bajani is in for Ron the Show Hughley. Also, real quick, World Cup update. Portugal, Spain going on right now in Dallas. They are tied up at the half, 0-0. That's the first game today. And then USA, Belgium. In Seattle, they'll kick at 7 p.m. tonight. And if you hadn't heard the news, it is official. Flo Balogun, one of our best players that we were thought to have going to have to play without in this round, it is no more. He will be on the team. America will be whole. And Belgium ain't real happy about it, but we're going to get our entire team, and we're going to have our entire team as strong as we can be in this round of 16 in World Cup play. Again, that kicks at 7 tonight. We'll be covering all of that as we move along in today's show. We've got a good one lined up for you. If you want to get involved, 713-572-4610. Go ahead and shoot a text. If you want to get involved on Twitch and YouTube, please do so. The chat rooms are wide open there as well. And Bajani's got a close eye on all of the above. So 713-572-4610. You are listening to Houston Sports Leader. Make sure you stay plugged in and get involved any way that you can. The Texans go to training camp in about 3 weeks. I can't believe we're that close, fellas.
I know.
Yeah, I cannot believe that we're that close. Seems like yesterday our hearts were broken in that loss to New England in the playoffs, and felt, you know, when there was, it looked like there was going to be a once in a lifetime opportunity with the likes of Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes and
Burrow,
and heck, I think maybe even at that point Josh Allen was at home. But you know, all the big quarterbacks in the AFC were out. Thought we had us an opportunity there, and we lost. Boy, our hearts were broke, and here we go. Boom, you blink an eye, and we're 3 weeks away from training camp cranking up. And here's the question I got. We talk a lot about how good this defense is and about what this offense needs to accomplish. All the main players. The ESPN put out a roundtable. A bunch of writers got together, and our local guy here, DJ Bienemy, great dude, great follow on social media, puts out a lot of great content. They had a roundtable, AFC South roundtable. Who comes out on top? And as a team, they had the Texans winning the division, and they took it a step further and talked about breakout players. And DJ Bienemy went with. One thing, I'll be honest, it surprises me. I hope he's right, though. He went with Tank Dell.
Breakout?
Tank Dell, coming off these injuries, yes, as a breakout player. And, you know, that's a pretty good one given the injuries that he's dealt with. But for me, I think there's a handful of guys, and I think it's got to be on the offensive side of the ball for me, Sean, because Agreed. The defense is great. There's some guys that may have breakout type years on the defense, but I don't know how much they actually change the production of the defense. I think they're going to be tremendous as is. So I think it's got to be offensively, and I put probably more thought than I'd like to admit into this. So, of course, I'm going to take it a little bit deeper and make it a little more complicated than just the surface, right?
I like it.
Well, I think it's, as I'm thinking about it, there's two different avenues here, two different points of view. One, how likely is it to happen? So I want to give something here that's, there's at least a puncher's chance it's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And then number two, you know, is that player truly, does he truly change the offense if he has that quote unquote breakout year?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the popular pick is Jaden Higgins playing opposite Nico Collins, but I'm gonna move off of that. We talked about him last week. I'm gonna go with Brevin Jordan.
Man, let's go.
Did I steal it from you?
No, you didn't steal it, but he was on my candidate list.
Okay.
I knew you wanted to talk about this, so in my mind, I made my own candidate list. Jaden Higgins, Jalen Knoll, Marlon Klein, Cade Stover, Brevin Jordan. I mean, to me, those are the only and obvious choices player-wise offensively. And I've been on the Brevin Jordan train for a few years now.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the guy that Nick Caley was looking at. You know, every coach has to do this. When they're taking a job or considering about, you know, thinking about taking a job, there's a handful of players that they look at, and they're like, man, I can't wait to work with that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Jordan being a Swiss Army knife, kind of a tight end, him being a tight end coach, and Caley, I thought Jordan was that guy for him. And, hell, he never got off the runway last year because of the injury.
Yeah, well, I mean, other than injuries, I think he's going to be given every opportunity under the sun. And I think he is – so I think the opportunity piece, that box is going to be checked. I can't – the injury piece of it, there's nothing I can do about it. So I didn't even consider that. But the reality of it is, for me, Sean, that this offense just lacks speed. This offense just lacks change of direction. This offense lacks twitch. You know, when you start talking about explosiveness and twitch, the fact that Tank Dell comes up so quickly in that conversation
– yeah.
Given what we know about Tank Dell right now and what he's been through, I think that speaks volumes, right? That tells you how there's a void of that twitch explosion speed dynamic on this offense.
Yeah.
And so I think the guy that's going to be given every opportunity under the sun is Brevin Jordan. I think he's a guy that, if he can stay healthy, just brings to his position, I think he brings more of what I just mentioned, the explosiveness, the speed, the twitch. He brings more to his position than any other player does to their position on this offense.
Would you say because Brevin Jordan and the position that he plays and the multiple different ways you can utilize that position in a Caley offense,
yep.
that in and of itself, it not just brings more to his position, but maybe brings more to the offense. You can do more things within the offense, spread it out, condense it. You can give multiple looks.
That's such you're hitting the nail on the head, because you can line up him in a three-point stance in a fullback position in a goal line type situation.
Yeah.
You can put him at the end of the line of scrimmage with his hand in the dirt attached to the tackle. You can put him in a flank position outside another tight end. You can put him out in the slot. Hell, you can put him out wide and push everybody else over and run routes on a safety or run routes on a linebacker, try to get some kind of mismatch. Right? So you can do a lot with Brevin Jordan, and he changes the offense in a big, big way. So I think breakout year, like, and I'm not talking about a breakout in Houston, because like I think everybody here in Houston knows who Brevin Jordan is. If you've watched a game, and if you cover the Texans or you're a fan of the Texans, you know you've seen Brevin Jordan run away from folks.
Yeah.
Right? He's the one guy on this team. Now, we think Woody Marks can. Although we didn't, I mean, I'm a big Woody Marks guy, but I'm not convinced that he's that guy, this guy. We know Nico can to a certain degree, but like, you want to talk about a guy that you get the ball in his hands and he can hit a crease, and guys with good angles on him, he can still outrun them.
Yeah.
Brevin Jordan's that guy.
Or run through their ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm going to go with Brevin Jordan for those reasons. If he needs to have a breakout year, personally, he needs to have a breakout year before they just punt on the Brevin Jordan project.
Yep.
But not only that, I think he changes this offense. Not to mention, by the way, our offensive coordinator was a tight ends coach for 42 years, it seems like, and more people talk about it. So he should be able to get the most out of that position group more so than any.
I got one.
All right.
I said I liked your line of thinking. You said you were going to go a little bit deeper than this and, you know, maybe a little bit off the beaten path. I said I liked it for a reason, because I'm doing exactly that. I took this as never mind a breakout player, but just a breakout member of this team on the offensive side of the ball.
Okay.
Nick Caley. It's got to be Nick Caley. And here's why. We are about to be three seasons removed from the last time an offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans was in a very, I think, similar situation to that of what Nick Caley is in right now. You remember year two of Bobby Slowik. What did he all of a sudden have at his disposal that we got really super excited about? You insert Stephon Diggs, and you're thinking, holy crap, you got Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Steph Diggs,
Joe Mixon,
Dalton Schultz. This offense is going to be stupid.
I think Brevin was around then too, wasn't he?
Brevin was around, but then, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
And look at what you have now if you're Nick Caley at his disposal. You're thinking, boy, Nico Collins, Tank Dell's coming back. David Montgomery, we just got him. We got a brand new offensive line that we've overhauled again. Dalton Schultz is back. I've got a couple of young receivers, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noll. You have so many other options right now if you're Nick Caley. And I think his biggest problem last year, Caley's, was that he came in thinking that he's going to have all this at his disposal, and then everybody got hurt.
Yeah.
And the offensive line sucked. And so he had to pivot, and there was really nothing that you could, like, solidly pivot too, so it was kind of, let's throw it up against the board and see what happens. Slowik couldn't make it work his second year. He treated that situation like he wanted to make everybody happy. I got to make Diggs happy. Got to make Nico happy. Got to make Tank happy. He never seemed to get on a solid footing with any one of those guys, and then they didn't even allow him to because Tank got hurt.
Yeah.
Diggs got hurt. There were so many injuries. Caley's got that very same situation that he's faced with in his year two. Never mind just making sure that, you know, this offense progresses. I think this offense is going to look vastly different than what it did last year because of everything at his disposal. And never mind the questions at quarterback. To me, there's just as many, if not more, questions about if this guy can actually coordinate an offense and call plays for it.
Absolutely. That's a good one. A couple of breakout candidates that have been mentioned. Brevin Jordan, obviously, player-wise. Jaden Higgins was one we talked about last week. I think Jaden Higgins absolutely changes the offense. Bajani, if he you're talking about two guys sitting at 6'4", roughly 215, 220, maybe even a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, those are big targets, man. And you talk about red zone threats. You talk about man beaters. When you got Nico Collins and a guy, if Jaden Higgins can actually break out. Last year was a good rookie year for Jaden Higgins. Some would say a great rookie year. But it seemed, as I went back and watched some of the big plays, it seemed like a lot of it just kind of came within the offense. Right? And so was there much like Nico after the catch, hard to tackle, breaking tackles? Not really. Was there much go up and make 50-50 ball catches? There was one for a touchdown, but was there a lot of it where you were convinced? Not really. You know, was there him showing speed and just running by somebody? There was a blown coverage. I can't remember when him and Jalen Knoll did it early, maybe Jacksonville, or I can't remember who it was. But, you know, there was a couple of those. But there was not enough of just like convincing man beater, one-on-one beater to go, yeah, this dude is it. But he is one that has all the tools to make it happen this year. Jalen Knoll is the other one. I think this offense is, if you look at the history of that New England Patriots offense, there was always a slot receiver that was played a prominent role in this offense. Can Jalen Knoll be that guy? A lot of folks think the Texans would go out and get a veteran, headsy, more chemistry type guy that you know what you're getting to play that position. But do they have trust in Jalen Knoll to be that guy? I know he's got the ability. Do they have trust that he's ready to be that guy? It's a big role in this offense.
For what you said earlier about how this team doesn't have that twitchiness, that speed, that agility, that could be Jalen Knoll. He might be the darkest of dark horses coming into this season because he does possess those traits, but can he show them within this offense? And ultimately, like, yes, that's an individual question that he's got to answer, but it's also this offense. You know, can Nick Caley utilize these players at his disposal that you could kill at multiple levels? With Nico, with Tank, with Jalen, with the tight end situation that you have, David Montgomery in your backfield, God knows how they plan on or end up using Woody Marks, but you can attack the opponent at so many multiple different ways, to short, intermediate, and deep. It comes down to me for Nick Caley. Can you trust this guy with his quarterback?
Yeah.
To find these guys and put them in position to succeed, just like your head coach defensive coordinator's done for the last 3 years.
That's Sean Bajani. He is in for Ron, the show, Hughley. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Biggest story on the map right now. Our president made a phone call. FIFA made a change. Flo Balogun will play tonight in round of 16. With that in mind, let's bring it on home. What Houston sports decision do you wish the president would have called and reversed before it happened? Before we had to watch it unfold. We got a few of those next right here on Sports Radio.
Want $1,000 weight loss medication for $50? It all starts with Rose free GLP-1 insurance check. Just upload your insurance card to see if you have coverage, then relax. Over 200,000 people have qualified for a $50 copay through Ro. Go to ro.co/health. Half of covered patients have a $50 per month copay or less for medication, plus $145 monthly Ro membership fee. Deductible costs may apply and final cost varies by insurance plan. For safety information about GLP-1 medications, including boxed warning, go to ro.co/safety, Rx only.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron, the show, Hughley is out. Sean Bajani is in. Tyler's on the ones and twos. The biggest story in sports today, rightfully so, is the U.S. men's team that plays tonight against Belgium. Kicks off at 7 o'clock Central. They're in Seattle, but it's a 7 o'clock Central kick. We will have one of our better players that we thought was going to have to serve a one-game ban, one-game suspension, Flo Balogun. He is going to play tonight. And the story that makes this thing such a national story right now is that Donald Trump, President of the United States, he called FIFA President Gianni Infantino and asked that they review the red card and the process of which led to Balogun being suspended. And FIFA reviewed and came to the came to the point where they reinstated it. Is that the right way to put it, Sean? Reinstated, or they just...
I wouldn't say reinstated, but...
reverse their decision.
Reverse, there you go. Reverse the decision, and Balogun's going to play tonight versus Belgium. Not good for Belgium. Great for us Americans. And by the way, all you folks out there that are now mad, if some folks going as far to say go Belgium, because our best player got reinstated. Probably you feel that way because the President of the United States is involved in it. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding. If you're an American and you would root for Belgium for any reason, something's wrong with you, man.
I agree. Did you happen to see, by the way, J.J. Watt's response to all of this on
Twitter? I didn't see it, no.
So he's catching a lot of hell for it as well.
Sure.
On Twitter because of what his stance is. And so upon the breaking news earlier this morning, J.J. Watt had basically tweeted out a GIF. And it's it's that character from Rudy, the janitor who's just doing the slow clap.
Slow clap, yeah.
Right? Yeah, good. And then people are like, oh, really, JJ? Come on. The country over rules of the game and blah, blah, blah. JJ had a really interesting response because he's got a very unique and interesting perspective on this.
Yeah, he's an owner, right?
He's an owner of a soccer team. And it's a very lengthy response, but I'll read you just the nuts and bolts of it. He goes, you root for your country. I think the red card was wrong. You think the appeal process was wrong. In parentheses, I would argue it should have not needed one. We disagree. I am American, so I'm pleased Flo can play. It will ultimately be decided on the field. Ball don't lie. And he tells a little bit of a story about how he's been on appeal calls, as an owner in the Premier League and with both the NFL during his career. And he says, trust me, there are times you're likely fighting a losing battle, but you fight it anyway because that's what you do for your team. Yada, yada, yada. There's a lot more there. But I thought that's a very interesting perspective and way to look at it for somebody that has been on multiple sides of the table as both an NFL player and as a soccer owner.
Look, there's absolutely nothing that would make me root against the Americans, number one. But number two, if you watched it at all and you're not just a keyboard warrior and you realize how egregious the call actually was, I think if you still choose to root against America because the president made the call or because, you're that big of a soccer rules guy, then boy, I mean, you need to grab you a cold beer and just watch America Tonight and chant USA a few times for me if you don't mind. But
let's go.
In the spirit of Trump calling the president and getting the Balogun suspension suspended, if you will, I thought we'd have a little fun here, boys. What in Houston sports history, and this isn't a happening on the field, these are decisions that we're talking, decisions that were made. What decision in Houston sports history do you wish you could have rang up the president and said, hey, man, make this call and make this go away? What decision in Houston sports history do you wish you could have called the current president, whoever the president was at the time, and they would have put a call in and said, no, we're going to reverse that call. I'll start this thing off. It's easy for me, boys. I was young during the Oilers days. I was playing elsewhere in the early Texans days. And so my my whether it's covering the team or rooting for the team, my passion that I expend for this team has been short lived. It's not been the entirety of the history.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've been really a sports fan at all, I've never seen anything like the Jack Easterby situation. So I'm going to go with Jack Easterby. If the president of the United States, could have called Mr. McNair at the time as he was really liking Jack Easterby, if the president of the United States could have called Cal and Hannah and said, don't do it, it would have changed the trajectory of this organization.
I cannot. Nobody can disagree with that.
I mean,
hell no.
Now
nobody.
I don't know
you
that
win.
I don't know that we wouldn't have been the dreaded 500 for a couple of years in the Bill O'Brien exit and kind of trying to find the next guy, but I know we damn sure wouldn't have been the laughing stock of the NFL for a handful of years. So,
yeah.
Boys, it's easy for me, man. Who was president when that happened? Was it Trump the first time or Biden? One of the two, early Biden or Trump?
Question. Yeah, somewhere in there.
Well, Trump was first elected, right? In 16.
It had to be, Trump. 18, it had to be the end of Trump.
Then you had Biden, and then you had Trump again. So yeah, that was Trump.
We can say the same president. I wish Trump would have picked the phone up and said, "Cal, don't do it. Cal, just don't do it. Let Easterby be, man. Send him back to South Carolina. Let him go to A&M with Tyler's basketball team up there, where he ended up after here.
He sure as hell did.
That would be the one for me, boys. Is just that was a. There, I stick to my guns. There will be a documentary at some point written about what was going on with Jack Easterby and the Houston Texans. Unfortunately, I think it's going to make a lot of folks look bad that I like, but it's I think that is going to be done. So I'm going with the Jack Easterby.
I think that's a great call. I think Trump's response back in the day probably would have been the same if he actually had a say over the Easterby. Mm. I saw the hire. It was a bad hire. The guy's been crooked and, you know, done some crazy things before. Talked to Cal and Hannah, and they're going to undo the hire. They're going to let Bill O'Brien, Mr. Butchin, handle the rest of the work from here on out. Glad I could be of help. It would probably sound something like that. I've got a few. I don't know which one I'm going to rest on.
Okay.
But the Rockets. 2018 Game 7 Western Conference Finals. Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
0 for 27 on the threes at one stretch.
Oh.
So if Donald Trump could have, you know, picked up the phone and... like press the easy button and there would have been like some sort of tripwire like that would have gone across the court and disallowed right. like Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, or James Harden from ever shooting another three in that game during quarter stretch.
The decision to stay the course and do what your identity is and just keep jacking threes even though you're cold, right?
Yeah.
We're just not good enough.
You've got to stop shooting threes. Attack the basket, please.
I'm a sports fan. I knew this.
I think that would have been one. Astros signing Jose Abreu in 2022. That would have been another one of mine.
Yeah, some folks still have PTSD. I do not, but some folks do.
And then I'm going to represent the OGs, even though this was 3 years before I was even thought of. The Renfro catch. I think if a president could have called up and said, you get to look at this again. You got it wrong. That would have been the first instant replay during that era of NFL. And I think it probably would have been put to best use in the minds of Houston Oilers fans back then and made that a catch.
T, what do you got, man?
Man, I got to go with the one particular baseball game here in the city of Houston for these Astros that kept that squad, the golden era, from becoming a true dynasty. You remember Game 7 Nationals in town over at the time, Minute Maid Park. Greinke getting the start. Game 7 for all the marbles. Who's hoisting the trophy? World Series. And it didn't go well. 6-2, I believe, was the final score. Nationals won that World Series. And on the way to that final, manager A.J. Hinch made two very, very critical mistakes, in my view, that I will never forgive A.J. for, and that is starter Zach Greinke coming out of the game at only 80 pitches. This is your last game of the season, bro. You do not pull Zach Greinke at that stage at 80 pitches. Mm-hmm. You spend him up, especially with the state of the bullpen for the Astros at that time.
Oh, he was rolling, too.
Yeah, and then to follow up pulling Greinke too early for Hinch, you don't put in the fellow who became a representative of himself. Of course, talking about Gerrit Cole, one of the inspirations for the turd list, which will return this Thursday, by the way.
Let's go!
But yeah, I got to go with that Game 7 in 2019. Just so many things maddening about that one. as the Astros lost, and then we saw Gerrit Cole turn to the turd.
I would have partially won some money there on Tyler.
Yeah. I was at this game, by the way, too.
If we're talking about one decision, hey, we need a president to call as this is going on and say, don't do it. The Gerrit Cole it would be a decision that wasn't made. I guess it was made in a different direction. Yeah. But the Prez would have needed to call and say, hey, man, go Gerrit Cole here. Now, what was it, Will Smith?
Was it Will Harris? Yeah, Will Harris.
Yeah, that.
I spent absurd money to be at that game seven. I was sitting right behind our bullpen on the front row for game seven that day, and I saw Gerrit Cole get up, stand up, and act like he might, you know, loosen up, start warming up in the pen. Sure enough,
yeah, because he thought the obvious decision was going to be made too. If you had the easy button to press at that point in time, like sprinkler head pops up out of the field as Harris is jogging in, boom, he trips, tears his Achilles. Here comes Gerrit Cole.
Here comes the Secret Service escorting Cole out onto the field.
Yeah.
Hey, that's. Have it covered, Houston. Don't worry.
First time in 25 years they've used the bullpen cart.
AJ wasn't going to do it, but I stepped in. I knew what I was doing.
Boy, you guys got. I didn't realize y'all had such good Trump voices. That's.
I don't really know
why I decided to go Trump there in that situation.
That's good. That's good.
That's a good conversation, man.
All right. Weekend's best, weekend's worst. Got a lot to pick from. It was a big weekend. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Want $1,000 weight loss medication for $50? It all starts with Rowe's free GLP-1 insurance check. Just upload your insurance card to see if you have coverage, then relax. Over 200,000 people have qualified for a $50 copay through Rowe. Go to rowe.co/health. Half of covered patients have a $50 per month copay or less for medication, plus $145 monthly Rowe membership fee. Deductible costs may apply and final cost varies by insurance plan. For safety information about GLP-1 medications, including boxed warning, go to rowe.co/safety, Rx only.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
You are fake news.
The world of sports doesn't stop just because it's everyone else's weekend. Don't worry, H-Town. Clint, Ron, and T-Mill will get you up to speed. It's weekend's best and weekend's worst on The Drive.
Weekend's best, weekend's worst. We had a weekend, y'all. 4th of July fireworks wasn't the only fireworks happening. It was a lot going on in the sports world. Although, weekend's best, weekend's worst, it may venture off the field. It may venture off the pitch. It may venture off the diamond. You never know. Today, we're going to start with the worst. Bijani, I like to get the bad news out of the way immediately. I believe in just punching them in the nose. I don't want to sugarcoat them. I don't want to pat you on the ass. I don't want to make you feel good and then just push you off the cliff. I want to punch you square in the nose and then apologize, all right, with something good. So let's start with the weekend's worst, man. What you got? Weekend's worst.
Am I going first?
You're going first, Bijani.
I mean, can it get any worse than Brandon Ayuk calling out his at least potential, future teammate in Jaden Daniels, telling him to stop running behind his mama? And that he doesn't believe anything that he's putting down. If you have not heard it, this is again how at least one of the latest Brandon Ayuk clips on social media sounded about Jaden Daniels.
Probably gonna text me talking about something. You on my team now. You follow my rules. Boy, I'm a grown-ass man, boy. You're going to have to start running behind your mama, and I might believe what you're talking about. But until then, mm-mm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Brandon Ayuk is still technically a San Francisco 49er.
Yeah.
He's not yet been released.
He's got some things he needs to settle, I believe, before they're able to release him. But they're really not going to do him a favor by releasing him early either.
No,
so.
But whose team is he on?
Right.
You're on my team, he says. What the hell is going on here? If I'm the Washington Commanders, I'm not looking twice at this dude from here on out. Out. Bye. We do not need you. I mean, you're trying to, you know, build something there. You got a new OC. Your quarterback's coming back healthy. You don't need these problems in your life if you're anybody associated with the Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Any coach that looks at that and goes, yeah, bring that to my team. And I'm not talking about just that video. I'm talking about the totality of what Brandon Ayuk is today. Anybody that says, yeah, I want some of that right there is desperate.
And put him on the same team, by the way, as Laremy Tunsil.
I mean, this is not even a guy, in my opinion, that you add. If you got a champ, like New England, the New England Patriots needed a wide receiver, and it's one of the, now they don't, obviously, with A.J. Brown, but they were in like obvious need of wide receiver. I would say that the Texans were in need, maybe not obvious, but in need of an established wide receiver, kind of like when you got Diggs to come over.
Yeah.
This guy is poison. I would stay as far away from him as I possibly can, man. The totality of it, going after the GM now, even if it's tongue in cheek, going after the quarterback in this way, which I don't think it's tongue in cheek, given the text message that you highlighted earlier from Jaden Daniels. It's now been deleted.
Enjoy retirement.
I mean, it just seems like he's on another planet, man. It just seems like there's no leading this guy. Clearly, he's not a leader, but he don't even know how to follow. I would stay as far away from him as I can. So, I agree. I don't know if we can get any worse than Brandon Ayuk. However, the approach that I'm going to take with my weekend's worst is a pretty simple one. I'm going to go this route, one, because he was bad, but two, because I don't know that I'll ever get a chance to make him my weekend's worst ever again. Guy's a pretty good baseball player.
I hope not.
And he's one of my favorite, and he's here in Houston. I got to go weekend's worst. I got to go Hunter Brown. We lose game one versus the Rays in a series where I think we all agree it was kind of a litmus test of what the Astros are going to be capable of doing. The Rays were hot. We're on an 8-game win streak, 9-game win streak by the time we got to Hunter Brown after beating the Astros in game one of the series. It was America's 250, big day, July 4th, Hunter Brown on the bump. We need a hell of a performance, see if we can't get game two so that we can still win the series. And the wheels completely come off Hunter Brown. Now, thanks to our other superstar, Yordan Alvarez, we were able to win that game. I think he had 6 RBIs in that game, 3-for-4, 6 RBIs.
Yeah.
Hit a bomb, hit a walk-off bomb in the bottom of 9. So we did get the victory, but it had nothing to do with Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown lasted 4 innings. Gave up 7 runs, 6 of which were earned runs. He walked 4 hitters, struck out only 3, and gave up 2 home runs. So I'm going to go my weekend's worst, Bijani. Again, not to pick on him, not to pile on him, but I just don't know that I'm going to get the opportunity to do it again. So I'm going to go with Houston ace Hunter Brown.
I think it's a really good one. It may be the obvious choice, to be honest with you, at least if you localize it, because not too much else went poorly. At least for the Astros over the weekend, but that was a stinker.
One thing to take the sting out of my weekend's worst is, as I mentioned, Yordan Alvarez had turned around and had what should be the weekend's best here.
He's my best.
Is he? Well, hell, take it over. You got it. This is why my weekend's worst didn't sting that much.
He was my best. If you want it, you can have it. I do have an honorable mention for best.
No, go ahead. You go ahead and run with it, man. I got mine.
Alvarez, as you mentioned, for the Astros on Saturday as part of that 10-8 victory. You know, you've said it, Yordan Alvarez, maybe single-handedly the reason why the Astros are even positioned the way that they are right now in the wild card and in their division. And hell, in the span of 2 series, they could be very well back to .500, and they might be in the damn lead in this division going into the All-Star break, and it's because of Yordan Alvarez, who on Saturday hit 2 dingers, his 28th and 29th of the season. He's 1 percentage point behind Yandy Diaz of the Tampa Bay Rays for the best batting average in the American League, which would give him the triple crown at the halfway mark, and he still might get it. If you missed it, here's how Jordan ended everybody's Saturday at Daikin.
Straightaway center. Did he do it? Did he do it? Yes, he did! Start the fireworks!
He does it every single time. And Jordan, we absolutely trust.
The MVP chant started tonight for the first time, and Jordan delivered a 6 RBI, 2 home run night.
If anybody gets Todd Callis to climb out of their own skin, it is Jordan Alvarez. I mean, he made Todd's voice crack right there. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And he's made a few of those calls in the last week alone.
Well, we're lucky to have this cat, man, just from a fan's perspective, just from a entertainment value perspective, to have this guy at the plate every night. I said it earlier. We'll talk about it again later in the show. I just think the Astros are going to strike fear in any opponent. If they can play well enough, which it looks like they are going to right now, at least, if they can play well enough to get into the playoffs some way, shape, or form, I think they're going to scare the hell out of whoever their opponent is one way or another, because you've got this guy right here that pitchers are going to have to face. Managers are going to have to decide, do you pitch around him and not give him anything to hit,
or do you
give him a chance to change the game every time he comes to the plate? So he's on a historic run. Hopefully he can keep this thing up and really challenge for a triple crown and MVP. We shall see. Again, it's hard to one up that best right there, especially here in Houston. But I'm going to go with that World Cup match last night. I haven't watched a ton of soccer in my time. I haven't watched a ton of World Cup soccer in my time. But I tell you now, if you're just a casual fan or if you just like sports, now's the time to start tuning in to the World Cup, because all of these games moving forward are going to be, obviously, they're win or go home, but they are some hellacious matches. England at Mexico last night. England wins 3-2, which, by the way, it's only the third competitive loss for Mexico in Azteca Stadium, which Azteca Stadium was built in 66 or 56. Anyway, long ass time.
Yeah.
It's only the third loss that Mexico's had in that stadium. But England goes to Mexico in, I believe that's Mexico City, and Azteca Stadium beats Mexico and advances to the next round. So tip the cap to England. Tip the cap to Mexico. The environment that was created down there was a really, really cool environment, man. It was one that, I mean, you're talking AFC Championship, Super Bowl type environment for the fans down there. So I got to go with weekend's best was that England-Mexico match last night.
Great one. Yeah, that's a great one. If I can put a cherry on top the best of the weekend, Major League Baseball recognizing the best of the weekend in Jordan Alvarez. Okay. He was just named American League Player of the Week. Jordan, 10 for 23, a .435 average, 4 dingers, 11 ribs. If we could put this in further perspective, the National League Player of the Week, Otto Lopez, he went 14 for 28, so hit .500 with 8 extra base hits and 7 RBIs. If you would have taken the 6 RBIs and the 2 dingers away from Saturday's performance alone for Jordan,
right,
I think he still has a better week than the National League Player of the Week and Otto Lopez. The guy is just white, stinking hot. Jordan Alvarez, man. And he's yours. He is yours for now, the city of Houston's. Awesome.
Yep, that's it with that big fella in the middle of the lineup. Like I said, you've got you got a chance to make this thing dance a little bit. It's going to be fun watching them move forward to see if they can stay hot.
I did say I had an honorable mention, by the way.
Who'd you got?
If you don't mind. The honorable mention for the best of the weekend, it very well is Astros-centric, or at least could be down the road, because you got rid of, at least at the end of this Major League Baseball season, 3 of the stinkers at the bottom of the barrel in terms of umpires. C.B. Buckner, Laz Diaz, Brian Anora, 85th, 83rd, and 91st ranked respectively, according to being the worst at their jobs in Major League Baseball umpiring. They will accept buyouts at the end of the season and will retire. Will not be responsible for making horse bleep calls against your team anymore. So there you go.
Yeah, the
ABS wins, baby.
Let's go. I got a lot of respect for umpires and referees and how often they are right, but you're right. I mean, I'm a big fan of ABS, but you are right, boy. It exposes some of these cats, unfortunately.
Nobody more than Buckner and Diaz right. over the last few years. Right.
Well, it's going to be better for the game if you get them cats up out of here. So, we'll see. All right, we got an Astros starting lineup out. We'll have that for you next on Dirty's Daily. But I got to give a big shout out to a local establishment that didn't pull the trigger on old Astro Granny's rig this weekend. And I need some help. I need kid-friendly vacations. I know this is going to come across as negative because I somehow poo-pooed Destin as a beach destination. But my July 4th vacation, destinations have to change, y'all. 713-572-4610. I want you to get involved in this. Kid-friendly vacations. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.